Lord, as we study the steps of achievements, it's my prayer and my desire that we will learn to be more fruitful for the kingdom of God. Lord, we want to be producers and not just merely consumers. Let tonight change our life. Let tonight revolutionize our thinking. Let tonight totally move us from one degree of glory to another by the Spirit of the living God. We ask this in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, take your little notebook and let's review right quick. We've been talking about the steps of achievement. Let's all say that. The steps of achievement. And we've said that God wants you to be an achiever. God doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to be fruity. Amen? He wants you to be fruity for the kingdom of God. He wants you to bear fruit. And what is that fruit? That's when you identify a goal and you go after it in prayer and it's done unto you. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's producing fruit for the kingdom of God. That's being an achiever. Now, we covered the first two steps last night. The first step is what? Look at your notes.
Dreaming.
You must open your mind up to think big for God. Remove yourself from tunnel vision. Remove yourself from those limitations that somebody has put on you. Perhaps a well-meaning relative that said, oh, you better not do that because you could lose your shirt. You know, people talk like that. Somebody one time that tried that and they're in the funny farm right now, tonight. Oh, you better not think about things like that. No, bless God, open your mind up and reach for the stars. Remember our story about Abram? How God put his arm around Abram and said, what do you see up there? And he says, I see stars. And he said, so shall thy seed be. In other words, think big. Open your mind up. But the second step is what? Defining. It's not enough just to sit around and as it were, daydream. That's the beginning. To open your mind up, you see, and think about what God would have. You need to focus in. Everybody say focus.
Focus.
Say focus in.
Focus.
You got to focus in and begin to define that which God would specify for your life. And then the logical step we said of defining, what's the last thing I gave you last night? You begin to do what? Look in your notebook. You begin to do what? You begin to write it down. You see, as you begin to have ideas come to you and as you begin to find it, begin to write it down. The Bible says, write the vision. Let's say that. Write the vision, and it says, make it plain upon tables that he who runs may read. In other words, make it very clear. Begin to define it. All right, now let's begin new territory right now. The third step of achievement is visualizing. The third step of achievement. Anything that you set out to achieve, I don't care if it's a business goal, I don't care if it's going to school, or if it's purchasing a new automobile, or believing God for a new car, or a new item of clothing, you're going to have to start visualizing. Now, the truth of it is, you already know how to do this. And visualizing works whether you realize it or not. Did you get that? Visualizing works whether you realize it or not. I mean, the drunkard, the guy who's got a problem with alcohol, he visualizes. Now, he doesn't understand the process. He's probably had no formal training like we're doing tonight on visualizing. But he'll get up and he'll begin to visualize what? The next drink. He'll begin to think in detail where it is. Where'd she put that bottle? I wonder where my wife hid that bottle. You know, I know how they think. Out in the bushes somewhere. You know, I wonder how I can get just a little bit of money, you know, and get down there and get me another one. They begin to visualize it, and because you visualize it, you begin to go in that very way. Take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The third step for achievement is to begin visualizing and seeing your identified goal, listen, as already done. Put that in your notes. You must see it as already done. Not you hope it's going to be done. The key is you got to see it as though it were already done. That's the key. Now, let's look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 16. You know, I've wondered many times, what made the Apostle Paul tick? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, a guy who could travel over the entire known world of his day. Shipwrecked, stoned, beat. He just wouldn't quit. I mean, he just didn't know quit, didn't know stop. He just knew when. And I thought, what's his key? What kept him going through all that? Well, I believe one of the keys is what we're about to read right here. He says in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, what is that he's referring to? His body. What's the outward man? It's your physical body. He says, though they beat me and stone me and shipwreck me, look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man... Everybody say inward man.
Inward.
Everybody say inward man.
Inward.
Now what is that? We're going to get to that in just a moment. He says, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction... Glory to God. He calls stoning, shipwreck, beatings, light afflictions. So the next time you have, you know, some little thing go wrong, honey, that ain't even a light affliction. He says, for our light affliction... How would you like to do that? Oh, well, I just got stoned and beat on the way to church tonight. How'd your day go? Oh, our day went great. How'd your day go, Jason? Oh, fine. I got stoned down, you know, right at the executive end as I was leaving. Praise God. That little light affliction. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Do you want to know how to make your problems work for you instead of against you? Here it is. He says, works for us a far more eternal and exceeding weight of glory. Now, you circle verse 18. Here's what we're talking about. He says, while we look not at things which are seen. Now, doesn't that sound backwards? He says, we look not at things which are seen, but, and it's implied here, we look at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Apostle Paul had trained himself to what I call visualize. Now, call it what you want. The tape set that I really spend like 5 hours on this one principle, is I call it faith imagination. But for the sake of simplicity, we're just going to call it visualizing. Using your mind to see what is not present as though it were. Seeing what is not present as though it were. That was the key to the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
You know, shipwrecked. Floating out there in the ocean. Can you see him now on a board? I mean, there they are on a board out in the middle of the ocean, shipwrecked. Mediterranean Sea. Timothy on one side. Silas on the other side. And they're griping. Man, this is the last trip. I'm never going on another trip. Big time apostle going to take the ship over there. Yeah, that's the last trip I'm going. If we get out of this alive. Do you agree with me, Timothy? I agree with you, Silas. And all of a sudden, Timothy says, what's that? What's that on the horizon? And they look, they squint, and they say, a piece of land. It looks like an island. Oh, hallelujah, an island. They start kicking towards the island. Oh, we're going to be saved. They get a little closer. They look closer. Do you remember the story in Acts? Headhunters. Man, a bunch of headhunters jumping up and down. All of a sudden, Timothy and Silas, they turn there. They start kicking there. Oh, dear God, Paul. What was he doing? Visualizing. He's kicking towards the island. An opportunity for evangelism. We're going to get them saved. Hallelujah. Can you see it, boys? What are you boys doing? Turn back around here. I'm telling you what, he could visualize something as though it were when it was not yet even seen. He said, the way that I make my afflictions work for me is I've learned to use my mind as a weapon for God. He said, I've learned to bring my thoughts captive, and I've learned to take my thoughts and see and visualize. Call it what you will. I've learned to picture it as though it already were. Look at that verse again. Verse 18. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. In other words, they're subject to change. You know that house that you're living in right now? Periodically every week you say, man, I wish we weren't in this house. That's a temporal thing. It's subject to change. Everybody say it's subject to change. Now, isn't that good news? You say, oh, man, this old jalopy of a car, I mean, I hate spending any more money on it to fix it, but then, you know, the little thought comes in, well, you better just fix this one up and not think about getting another one because, you know, you better not believe for getting another one. You might get yourself in trouble. That car is temporal. Isn't that good news? Everybody say it's temporal.
It's temporal.
It's subject to change. But that's only one side of it. The other side of it is that the way you get it to change is by seeing what is not seen. Let's say that together. Seeing what is not seen. And once again, seeing what is not seen. Let me give you an example from my own life. I now have one of these big Ford vans. But there was a time in my life and in my ministry where all I had to my name was a Chevrolet Chevette. You know, one of those hatchbacks? Well, those are nice cars until you start trying to take, just turn around and look at those big cases. They're fine until you start taking something like that. And I can remember when my wife and I, we'd be going, praise God, going on a mission, amen? Going down the road, man, in my hatchback, I had so much hanging out the end of my Chevette that my air conditioner was going out the back. Now, that's bad when your air conditioner gets lost out there, you know? I'm one of these guys, I got to have air conditioner on, high blast, you know? And there I was, going down the road to my Chevette, and the hatch is up, you know, because it can't close, and speaker wires hanging out, dragging down the road, and there I'm going on a mission for Jesus, preaching success, hallelujah. And so finally I began to get a vision that this Chevette is temporal. I said, I need something to haul what I'm taking with me. And so I said, you know, honey, what we need is a van. I said, honey, do you believe that we need a van? She said, honey, I believe we need a van. And so I began to get an image in my spirit and in my inner man of a van. I cut a picture out. I cut a picture out of a van. And I put it up there, and I used that photograph, and I began to see that van, and that van began to impress in my mind. Well, one day this couple in our community called, and they said, Jason, we've just purchased a new van, and the Lord has told us to make it available to you on a periodic basis. As you would have need of it, just give us a call, and if it's available, we'd be glad to let you use it. We had not talked to them. We had not asked them. They just were impressed by the Lord. I said, well, you know, that's a start. Maybe we can use it sometimes. And so we began to use it. And it felt so good sitting in that big van. Because, you know, on the Chevette, just you know how a Chevette is. That van, I'd just step on the accelerator and go down the road, you know. All my stuff in there. And we'd go on that trip and we'd just pray. And then we'd be coming home, go real slow. Oh, we're going to have to turn it in. Get back. Go slower, honey. Oh, it feels so good riding this van. And so, one trip my wife said, Jason, I believe that this is our van. I said, honey. I said, the Bible says thou shalt not covet. I said, she said, let's just believe for this van. I said, honey, I can't do that. I said, you know, this is their van. We can believe one like this, but this is their van. She says, oh, no, I just believe in my spirit. This is our van. I said, well, go ahead and pray if you want to go. Go ahead and pray. You know. She said, aren't you going to agree with me? I said, thou shalt not covet. I said, just go ahead and pray. You know. And she was over there, oh, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that this is our van. And, you know, I just feel and know like home. Man, we're claiming somebody else's. We're stealing this van, you know, with our faith. And she said, no, I know this is our van. Well, guess just what coincidentally happened. I mean, you know, probably one of those things that just happens. They called us up a few weeks later and they said, you know, we're not really satisfied with that van. We'd rather have one of those plush vans that has carpet on the ceilings and everything like that. Would you be interested in this van? They gave us a $15,000 van and offered it to us for $4,000, and we got it, paid cash for it. It was ours. Then I got on the bandwagon. I said, praise God, we got the van by faith. You ever done that? And my wife said, you didn't agree with me. Oh, I said, oh, honey, I was really in there. Praise God. What am I saying? I'm saying visualizing and seeing what is not yet seen is a great key to our spiritual power. And when we combine it with faith and prayer and the name of Jesus, there's nothing that's impossible unto us. Look what the Apostle Paul said there. He says, while we look not at things which are seen. Now, you know, some people in some churches, they'd hear you read something like that and not know it was from the Bible. They'd say, you know, that's just, oh, that you're getting into mind religion. Oh, you're just getting into spiritual stuff. No, we're not getting off into that deep, goofy stuff. But God is very interested in your mind. Amen? Amen. The Bible places a great emphasis on not only being saved, but bringing your mind under control of the Holy Spirit. And so we should bring those pictures into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, while we look not at things which are seen, but we look at things which are not seen. Begin to see the desire of your heart. Begin to see that thing that you would like to achieve. Begin to see it as though it were. And there's a great degree of power that goes with that. Now just turn over to chapter 10, right next door. 2 Corinthians 10. And I've been paraphrasing this passage, but let's look at it specifically. Chapter 10, and let's begin with verse 3. The Apostle Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, talking about the physical body, We do not war after the flesh. Sometimes I wish we could, don't you? Sometimes I'd like to beat the devil upside the head with a hammer. But you know, you can't do that. So how are we going to fight him? Look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now that's the negative side. You're going to have to pull down some strongholds. But what are you going to do in their place? Verse 5. Casting down, look at this, casting down imaginations, thoughts, reasonings, pictures, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And here's the positive side. And bring into captivity every thought, every image, every picture, every visualization, bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now you see, some of us, we have big strongholds in our minds. Some of us were raised in a family where they said, well, you know, you just have enough to get by on. And so you've got something grilled into you that you're always just going to barely get along street. That's a stronghold. You know, somebody maybe embarrassed you in school one day and stood you up in front of the class and expected you to give a book report, and maybe you just did a very poor job, and instead of helping you along, they said, well, it's obvious you'll never be a speaker. Ha, 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 and everybody laughed. And that just put a stronghold in you that I'm no good. That I'm just the shy type. I run into people like that all the time. I'm just the shy type. Why are you just the shy type? That's just the way I am. No, that's a stronghold in you. You don't have to be the shy type. You can be whatever you want to be. So what do you have to do? You have to cast down those strongholds, but in their place build up a picture of what is not seen, of what you would like to be. Amen. Amen. I mean, before we had that van, I would just sometimes sit in my office and I would just sit in the van. I'd look back there just to see how far back it was to the end of the van. In my mind, not in reality. Have you ever heard of what they call flight simulation? They call them simulators. They'll train pilots in what are known as simulators. They'll take a pilot and, you know, they put him in this thing called a simulator, and it looks just exactly like the control panel upon an airplane with all the instrumentation. And he'll get in there and he'll go through the different checklists and procedures, and for all he knows, man, he's cruising at 20,000 feet. The instruments say so. He's cruising at 250 knots. The instruments say so. He's on a course of northwest. The instruments, that's what they say so. And he's flying along there, man, and he's cruising that airplane, and all of a sudden he gets thirsty. So what does he do? He lets go of the thing, opens the door, goes out, get a coat, and the thing crashes. That's a simulator. He didn't really crash. It was a simulator. But when they get in the real situation, it's as though they already had been there. Now, what am I saying? We need to do some faith simulation. Amen? We need to begin to see in our mind those goals and those dreams and those aspirations that we've defined with the Spirit of God. See them as though they already were. And that has a way of programming us for success when we actually confront the real situation. Amen? Do you see that? Faith simulation. Go with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And let's look at what the Apostle Paul says we need to do with our minds. Colossians 3, and let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. In Colossians 3, verse 1, he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Everybody say above. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your mind. Now, the King James says affection, but a better translation would be your thoughts. Set your mind. Set your desire on things above. Everybody say above. Amen. Not on things of the earth. So he says here, set your mind, your thoughts, the pictures, the visualizations on what's above. Now, I got to thinking about that. What's above? Well, are we supposed to stand out there and look at airplanes? They're above. Is that what he's talking about? Are we supposed to stand around and visualize fat babies with wings on them, you know, like some people think angels look like? Yeah, they're above. What's he talking about? What is above here? I'll tell you what's above. Let me give you, for instance, on the earth there's sickness. Is there any sickness in heaven?
No.
So what should we set our minds on? Health. On the earth there's poverty. Is there poverty in heaven?
No.
Man, he pays the streams with gold. So what should we set our minds on? The provision of God. on the earth there's strife and contention and anger. Is there that in heaven? So what should we set our minds on? In other words, see what is not seen. See what is not seen. And that has a way of bringing power into your life. It has a way of bringing heaven into the now. As you see it and imagine it. You know, I've even used this process with people that have been sick. And I pray for them. And sometimes it's not just an instantaneous healing. And a lot of people, they're waiting for the big flash in the pan. But I pray and I tell them, I say, now what I want you to do every day, I want you to go home and specifically either sit in your easy chair or lay down in bed or wherever you're comfortable, and I want you to picture in your mind yourself in total health. Picture yourself as a 35-year-old fine specimen of the human race. Picture yourself totally healed and healthy. And you know what? When they do that, tremendous progress is forthcoming. Scientists these days have even done studies on what they call biofeedback. And they can take somebody and sit them in a room and they have high blood pressure, and the doctor will instruct them. This is all experimental. The doctor will instruct them and say, now I want you to say to yourself, and I want you to picture in your mind, blood pressure 120 over 80. Now I want you to say that for 15 minutes and I'll be back in. So that patient sits there. My blood pressure is 120 over 80. They picture the figure in their mind. My blood pressure is 120 over 80. 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 You can say it a lot of ways. My blood pressure is 120 over 80. 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 So finally he comes back in and the guy says, my blood pressure is 120 over 80. You can stop now. Stop, stop. They take their blood pressure and guess what their blood pressure is? It's amazing. It's amazing the power that we have through bringing our thoughts captive and what more to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So what am I saying? I'm saying you begin to dream big with God. You open your mind up to the possibilities. Then you begin to define and focus in. I want you to start a printing business. God may say, now I want you to go to school and study nursing. God may say, I want you to go to Bible school and prepare yourself to be a pastor, an evangelist, or a Bible teacher. It could be anything. Then you begin to daily see it in your mind as though it already were. This is a true story I'm about to tell you. When I was graduating from Oral Roberts University on graduation day, you know how everybody's in their gowns and they're trying to figure out which side the tassel goes on. You remember that? And so my wife and I were sitting there and we were preparing to march in. We'd been married the night before. Don't ever do that. Don't ever get married the night before graduation. That was a mistake. But we were there and there was a young girl and she was graduating as a registered nurse. And so, you know how you talk to people. I just walked up to her and I said, have you always wanted to be a nurse? How'd you become a nurse? And she said, yeah. She said, I've always wanted to be a nurse. I said, well, I guess your family really supported you and helped you become a nurse. She said, well, my daddy, before I was in high school, died suddenly, and so it was just my mama to raise the family and send me to school. I said, well, I guess your mama really had to work hard. She said, well, the sad thing is my mama came down with a terrible sickness when I was in high school, and she was an invalid and wasn't able to work for the family at all. I said, well, my, I said, how did you come to school? Now, she had no formal training that I know of what I'm talking to you about. This is just the story she told me. She said, well, I laid every bed at night. And she said, while I was in high school, every night I would lay in bed before I'd go to sleep, and I would just see myself in my white uniform. She said, I don't know, I just pictured myself with the nursing cap on, and I saw myself with the medication tray, and I just would see myself serving the medications in the hospital, helping people. And she said, you know, it's an amazing thing. Before I finished high school, several businessmen in the community offered to sponsor me to school, and it just all happened to work out. That is a powerful testimony of how her prayer, really that's what it was, her prayer combined with those pictures and those images in her mind went out almost almost like, I would say, a broadcast station, almost like a radio station sends signals out, and it goes out to maneuver the circumstances, the people, the angels, the spiritual powers, to bring to pass that which you desire. Amen?
Amen.
Too many times we just think of prayer as words. You know, some people, they just sit there like a parakeet. Oh, God bless mommy, God bless daddy, God bless the whole world, God bless everybody, God bless me, good night. You know, and they never really combine that heart dimension in with their prayer. Now, I want you to draw this diagram in your notes. And I'm going to... Do you like my chalkboard up here? You're going to have to use your visualization process to see my chalkboard. Draw three boxes. Three boxes on top of one another. One, two, three. Just draw them right on top of each other. Three boxes. One, two, three. Sitting right on top of each other. And then I'll tell you what to write in each box or out to the side. The top box, I want you to label the conscious mind. The surface box, the top box, the conscious mind. The second level, the second box, for lack of a better word, I want you to use the word the subconscious mind. Now, don't let that word hang you up. You know, I had one guy come into the after service and say, well, brother, you'll not be able to find the word subconscious in the Bible. He said, therefore, I do not believe it. I said, do you believe in the sinner's prayer? He said, certainly I believe in the sinner's prayer. I said, you'll not find the sinner's prayer in the Bible. I said, do you believe in the rapture? He says, certainly I believe in the rapture. I said, you'll not find the word rapture in the Bible. But the concept is there. Jesus is certainly coming away to catch us away, but you'll not find the word rapture. So don't let the terminology hold you up. So conscious level, subconscious level, but the deepest box, the innermost part, I want you to label this the spirit man. The spirit man. Now I want to show you what transpires when you visualize. The Bible talks a lot about the heart. In fact, let's turn to a passage. Go with me to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. And if you'll just listen intently the next few minutes, this one thing of this whole seminar will totally revolutionize your life. Proverbs 4, and let's begin with verse 23. In fact, let's just look at verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy what? Heart. Everybody say, keep thy heart.
Keep
one more time.
Keep
it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it. Everybody say, out of it.
Out of it.
In other words, something's going to come out of your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, or you could say, the experiences of life. Now, the Bible has a whole lot to say about the heart, and it's certainly not talking about the physical organ of the heart. It says, believe with your heart. Jesus says, out of the heart, the abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is the heart? I mean, we used to sit around in Bible school and what is the heart of man? Somebody said, well, it's the spirit of man. But you see, there's a problem with that. You can find in the Bible where the word heart is used, and you look at the original Greek, and it comes from a word that means mind. But then in other places where the word heart is used, it comes from an original Greek word that means spirit. So it means the mind and the spirit. So my question to you is, what is the heart? Now on your diagram, I want you to put a little bracket around the two deepest levels. Put a little bracket around the subconscious and the spirit man, and I want you to label that bracket the heart of man. Because I believe the heart of man is where the mind and the spirit overlap. The deepest part of your inner personality is where the mind and the spirit overlap. You see, it's obvious that you're not sitting there conscious of everything you've ever learned, right? For instance, what's your telephone number?
4-7-7-7-3-7-1.
See how he just brought that up? You weren't even thinking about your telephone number, were you? And after you got over the initial shock of me saying, what's your telephone number? You were able to recall it. What's your telephone number?
4-2-2-6-6-8.
Whipped it right out. So in other words, there is a realm in your mind where things are stored, but you're not necessarily conscious of it. So there's the conscious level, Hopefully you're conscious of this seminar right now. Then there's the subconscious level. Then there's the spirit man. The heart of man is the subconscious and the spirit man. Now the Bible just said, keep thy what with all diligence? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The real powerhouse of your life is the heart. The real powerhouse of your life is that subconscious and spirit man level. Now, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit joins with your spirit. So you may want to put a little HS in the spirit man level. That represents the Holy Spirit. You see, even if you're a non-believer, let's say you're not a Christian, you still have a spirit man. But only believers have the Holy Spirit in the spirit man. So you got the conscious level, the subconscious, and the spirit man. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. People can come to church and do this. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The song will say, raise your hand. And the people go, oh, hallelujah. Somebody will say something, go, amen, brother. But then they'll go out and live like the devil. You know that's true. In other words, you can operate in one area of the conscious mind, but really your heart's not that way. Do you follow me? The powerhouse is not necessarily the conscious level. It's the subconscious and the spirit man. That's the real you. Because we can kind of fake it with the conscious level. Now, let's get back to visualization. I want you to put some little dots in the conscious level. In the conscious level, just put about 3 or 4 little dots with your pen or pencil. Now, those little dots, I want you to label, put a little arrow, label that seed. Those little dots are seeds. What are those seeds? They're the pictures and the images of your mind. Now, from those little dots that you've just placed, I want you to draw little tentacles like little roots that go down into the subconscious and the spirit man level. Just start drawing 5 or 6 little tentacles that come from each seed, just like a seed has a root system developing. And it begins to go down into the subconscious and into the spirit man level. Now, on your diagram, I want you to loop an arrow. Take an arrow, a line, draw it from the conscious to the subconscious, to the spirit man, and then look at this. Loop it back up all the way out and put an arrow on the top. Begin the line in the conscious level, down to the subconscious, down to the spirit man. Loop it all the way back out. In other words, that seed that started on the conscious level, that roots down into the subconscious level, that roots down into the spirit man level, it's going to turn right around just like a corn crop or anything, and it's going to bust up out of the ground, and it's going to produce something in your life. Did you follow that? It's going to cause a crop to come to you. Now let's talk about this. If in your mind you picture yourself, let's say, following a line of adultery or immorality or fornication, let's say that you picture that in your mind. You allow yourself to watch those type of movies. You allow yourself to read those type of books. They got new names for them these days. They call them romance novels. Might as well just call them pornography novels. And you allow, you fill your mind and your pictures with those. I tell you what happens. That thing begins to root down into the subconscious. At first you think, well, I'll not let this affect me. I'm stronger than this thing. It's just entertainment, you understand. But it won't affect my life. But the thing begins to root down into the subconscious level. And it begins to draw power, as it were, from that heart realm. And certainly the Holy Spirit isn't contributing to that. But it begins to draw power from that, just like a root system draws nutrients out of the soil. And then it just so happens you meet that other person at your job. Probably just coincidence, you understand. It just so happens that the old girlfriend or boyfriend shows up and your affections begin to shift in that direction. And it just, you know, probably coincidental that your family begins to disintegrate. I tell you, it's the principle of visualization that I'm describing that's working for your destruction. But let's turn it back around. If we begin on the conscious level to hold an image of healing, and we see ourselves healed, if that's the need that we have, it's going to begin to root down and program the subconscious and the spirit man, and what's it going to turn around and produce in your life? Healing. You know, I have young people come up here all the time, and they ask me this question. Young Christians, they've just gotten saved, you know, high school age. And they'll say this, Jason, is it wrong for me to listen to rock and roll music? Jason, is it wrong for me to go see R-rated movies? And you know, I've learned something. I've learned not just to quickly say,
it's wrong. Don't do that.
Because I've learned they'll go do it. You know what I've learned to do? I've learned to take a pencil and a piece of paper and just go through that little diagram that I showed you. And I say, well, it just depends on what you want in life. And they say, what are you talking about? I said, it just depends on what you want in your life. And I walk them through that. And I say, well, have you ever listened to the words of those rock and roll songs? You know, it used to be the worst music they used to have back in the 50s and 60s was shoo-bop-dee-bop-bop-bop-bop-doo-bop-bop. You know, that was the kind of music they had back then. Now it's, I saw her walking down the street. She looked so fine, I wanted her now. You know, I left my baby for another baby. And I tell you, there's some that are just downright terrible. That's the problem. Adults, parents don't really know what's being said on there because the sound turns them off so much they don't ever listen to the words. You listen to some of those words, it's stuff that the Bible, it's everything the Bible stands against. But I tell them, I say, would you like to end up like Janis Joplin? Let's look at some of their heroes. Jimi Hendrix, let's look at some of their great heroes. Lennon, shot down. So let's just look at some heroes and what it produced in their life. Well, let's take some that are living today. How would you like to just, you know, be strung out on dope all the time? Be about on your fifth or sixth wife, or maybe not even married. Would you like that kind of... Oh, no, I wouldn't want that kind of life. I said, but yeah, let's just talk about this principle. If you plant that in your mind, where's it going to go? I just ask them. They say, well, the subconscious level. I said, then where's it going to go? I said, they say it's going to go to the spirit man. I said, now the law of the land is whatever you plant is what you get. Yes. You can't deny that. Input is going to equal output. They say, yeah, well, I see that. They understand that these days with computers. And they say, yeah, I see that. I say, let's loop it back around. I say, now, if you plan in pornography, if you plan in adultery, if you plan in drug abuse, and you plan in alcoholism, and I tell you, country western music is just about as bad, folks. So don't think you're off the hook. Some of that stuff is as filthy as the rock and roll music. You say, well, what kind of music do you believe in? I believe in worshiping Jesus, praise God. You say, well, that sure is limited. What do you want in life? You see. And so when they begin to understand the principle, you know what, more than not, they usually say? They'll say, well, man, I don't want to listen to it. And it's not because it's a don't. It's because they understand the principle. Do you see the difference? Christianity is not 101 don'ts. Christianity is walking in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Christianity is walking in the control and the power of the Spirit of God. It's not walking around saying, oh, I better not do that. Oh, don't look over there. Oh, I'm going to be a good Christian today. That's not what it's all about. What it's all about is yielding to the control of the Spirit in you. I say, well, what would you like in life? They say, well, I'd like to be happily married one day. I said, let's plant that seed in there. They said, well, I'd like to have a good job and, you know, own a house one day. I said, let's plant that seed in there. And when they begin to understand that they must capture their thoughts and picture what they desire in life and hold it on the conscious level, and it will root down in there and produce in their life, man, they are halfway to the victory right there. Now, the key to this whole thing, put a big star in your notebook, you must willfully hold the image of your desire on the conscious level. You must willfully hold the image of your desire on the conscious level. Now, that is work. It's not easy. Because there you go. You say, okay, praise God, I'm gonna visualize prosperity today. And so you close your eyes and you begin to see your business prospering. And you know how your mind has a way of straying sometimes. The Bible calls it vainglory. All of a sudden, let's take the guys, for instance. All of a sudden, you started off visualizing your business prospering. But all of a sudden, you're into one of these crazy daydreams. You know how daydreams are, where all of a sudden there's a wreck outside of your house. And in your dream, you're running in slow motion to the flaming car. Just so happens there's a gorgeous girl in the car who needs rescuing. You rip the door off of the car in your daydream. She's in there going, help me, help me, help me. And you reach in and you grab her in your Herculean arms. And you begin to turn and run just prior to the explosion of the vehicle. And it just so happens that all the television stations are there and you're on national news. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, let's see, where was I? The Bible says cast those things down. The Bible says bring your thoughts captive. Everybody say captive.
Captive.
Everybody say I must capture my thoughts.
I must capture my thoughts.
For the obedience of Christ.
The obedience of Christ.
It's a key. It's a powerhouse in your life. There's so much more that I would like to cover on this, but we better move on. All right, that's step number three. You dream. You begin to define your dream and you write it down. Then you take that dream and you begin to visualize it and see it as though it were already done. Now, if you just stop there, you're just going to be a daydreamer. If that's all you do is just sit in your house, I don't want to give you the impression that I'm talking about, you know, sitting in your house all day long with your legs crossed around your neck or something crazy like that, just daydreaming. The fourth step of achievement is beginning. At some point in time, you continue to visualize. You don't ever stop visualizing. But at some point in time, as you visualize, you're going to begin to get ideas. You're going to begin to get inspirations. You're going to begin to get little insights on how you could start in the accomplishment of what you are seeing. Did you follow that? Now, the first thing most people allow to stop them is, well, I don't have any money. Everybody say this, I don't need money. Say it like you really believe it. I don't need money. One more time. I don't need money. To begin. One more time. I don't need money. To begin. One more. I don't need money. To begin. Now that's true. Most of us, we say, well, I'd like to have a $65,000 house, but just so happens I got $3 in my pocket. It doesn't cost any money to look, does it?
Amen.
It doesn't cost any money to go down to the dealership and ask for a free brochure. When you're believing God, say, for an automobile, what you need to do to reinforce your visualization is to go down there and do some research. Go down there and sit in the car. Smell the new interior.
Right.
Somebody's believing for what? Put your hand on the steering column. Take it for a test drive. Do something to begin. Do something to begin in your plan. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2. And let's see how God has always instructed His people to start, even though it seemed like it was small and insignificant. If you wait for the ideal, if you wait until everything, you know, is sitting on a silver platter in your lap, you're never going to have it.
Amen.
You've got to start with what you have. You have to start with what you have, even if it seems small and insignificant. Deuteronomy chapter 2. And let's look at verses 24 and 25. Now, Moses here, he's recounting. This is actually the second generation. Remember, the first generation died out, and then a whole other generation that was going to go in and take the land. He's telling the second generation some of the accounts of the first generation, how they wandered in the wilderness. Now, look what he says in verse 24. He says, "Rise you up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land." Now, you underline this. Begin to possess it. Everybody say begin.
Begin.
You see, you're not going to be able to conquer it all at once. But he says, just begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin. Now, I want you to see that. If you'll begin, God will begin. When you begin, God begins. You go out there and take a faith walk through a home. I remember when I told you last night, my wife and I were believing for that home. And when the first time we went out, we got depressed because we went out and looked through homes, and then we asked, well, how much is this selling for? And our faces went like one of those balloons. You know, just the air kind of went out of it. But then I went back and I said, praise God, that's what it's all about, getting out there and beginning, and then God will begin. And our faith began to rise back up. Look what he says here, verse 25. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Now, you see, he was talking about a physical enemy there. He says, listen, folks. He said, if y'all just go in there and start to fight and just begin. He says, God will do a miracle. God will cause the fear of you to come upon the enemy. The enemy will begin to dread you and fear you and say, man, they're going to wipe us out. Now let's put it over in the spirit. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. Now when the devil sees you beginning, fear comes upon him. But as long as he can keep you in fear and keep you from beginning, he wins the battle. But when you'll just start in faith, even though insignificant, the fear of you comes upon him, and you've just about got the battle won. Now, this works for anything. You know, I've been alluding to cars and homes, and I don't want you to think, you know, we're talking carnal here. And for those of you that weren't with us Sunday morning, you've missed the whole perspective of what I've tried to put this in. And we were talking Sunday morning about the what? The harvest. The unprecedented harvest. And when I go over to the seas, I teach pastors the same principle I'm teaching you here. And I just received a letter a week or so ago from a pastor in the Philippines. And he said something to this effect. He said, Jason, he says, thank you so much for coming to our nation and talking to us about faith imagination. He says, I begin to do what you teach me. He said, I begin to see in my mind two new churches as though they already were. And he had enclosed a photograph of a half-built church, and he said, here is the first church that I have seen in my mind. It's coming to pass. I'm telling you, it'll work for anything, and we can take the land by seeing it and then by beginning. This man didn't have it all built, but he had some of the poles up, and it was going to happen. It's going to happen because he started. He began. He began. Go with me to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And let's look at really the same idea. Joshua chapter 1, and let's look at verses 2 and 3. You know, God is speaking and encouraging Joshua here. Moses is dead. Boy, how would you like to try to take the place of Moses? I'd just like to have to follow his act. Literally, the Red Sea. God encourages him. Look what he says. Joshua 1, verse 2. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Everybody say arise.
Arise.
There's a great truth there. Everybody say arise.
Arise.
He says, that's all you got to do. You just got to arise. Just get up. Go do some research. Get up. Go find the picture of the thing that you're believing for. Get up. Go take some photographs. You know, the successful businessmen, you know what they'll do? You walk into their offices, successful businessmen. What do they have on the walls? They have walls of pictures of successes. They don't have a photograph of the first month they couldn't meet payroll. They don't have a photograph of their head on their desk going, oh, I don't have enough money to pay my people. What do they have a photograph of? They have a photograph of themselves standing there with their first check. You ever see those kind of photographs? They'll have a photograph of themselves standing there with a shovel, breaking ground. Remember, the first day, the step, the start, how it all began. They'll have images of success to reinforce about them. And they're usually of how they just began. They'll have those hard hats on, one of them gold shovels. Standing there like that. Why? Just beginning. Everybody say, just beginning.
Just beginning.
Everybody say, just beginning.
Just beginning.
All right. Back to Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. What's our responsibility to do? Put our feet on the land. Get started. Get started. I'm believing right now in my ministry, one of the big things I'm believing for is an airplane. We've got to have an airplane. We move from a Chevette to a van. We've got to move from a van to an airplane. Because we travel so much and we have the desire to get to more and more places. And when you travel, like coming up here, how long was it, Dennis? 7.5 hours in a van each way. And you do that all the time. I mean, that's okay for a vacation. But when you do that all the time, that's a lot of time. You see, if I had an airplane, I could be here and then I could be across the entire country. And I'm a pilot. I've already got my license, so I've already begun. You see what I'm talking about? I do what I'm talking about. I've already got my license, but I'm a wingless pilot. I'm grounded. But you know what I regularly do? I regularly go out and put my hands on airplanes. We're going to go visit the airport here in Evansville. We're going to find one of those little planes like I'm believing for, and I just walk out there and put my hands on them. I've had owners run up to me and say, hey, what are you doing? I say, I'm putting my hands on your airplane. I'm beginning. I'm praying. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I see it, and I'm doing something. I have photographs to reinforce it. I've done research. I've written letters. I've even had people send me some offerings in the mail and say, put this towards your plane fund. Well, $25 in the mail doesn't look like a whole lot when you need $50,000 or $60,000. But it's a beginning. It's putting my foot on the land.
Amen.
It's putting my foot on the land. All right, go with me now to chapter 3. Joshua 3. And let's look at verses 14 through about 17. Joshua 3, verse 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bare the ark were coming to Jordan, verse 15, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped. Everybody say dip. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to learn how to dip. Oh, I hope nobody hears that on an edited transcript. I'm not talking about taking snuff now. I'm talking about you're going to have to dip. You're going to have to get started. You're going to have to get started by dipping your feet in the water. Amen?
Amen.
He says, they were dipped in the brim of the water. For the Jordan overfloweth all the banks all the time of the harvest. Verse 16, look what happens. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up a very great heap far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the salt of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed right over against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. How did it all begin? By dipping your foot in the water. It would have been interesting to see the priests talking among themselves. You know, they got the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. That big, beautiful box, the Ark of the Covenant with the angels on top of it. And I can hear them kind of talking. You go up there and dip your foot in. No, you're the chief priest. You go up and dip your foot in. Well, what if it didn't work? He said it's going to work. Get Aaron. Hey, Aaron, you go dip your foot in. Somebody finally had to walk up there and begin. And when they began, God began. When you begin, God will begin. When you begin, God will begin. You've got to start. You have to start. Now let me give you a couple little tips of things that you can do to get started in any project. I encourage you to have what I call a faith image board. Use what I call a faith image board. What is a faith image board? A faith image board is one of those cork boards or a poster board or some type of a thing that you could put in your home. And in that home, you could begin to put pictures of the things that you're believing for. I noticed tonight in your office, you have a sketch in there of the phases, right? He's already started. He's got a faith image board, you see, of the different phases of this church. You need to do the same thing for your life. Start a faith image board. And then periodically, as you see that faith image board during the day, and you see that home or that car, or I even had one lady told me that she had to put it in a secret place. Her husband wasn't a believer. So she took a photograph of her husband and put it up there. And where his hand was, she cut out a little Bible and stuck it in his hand. Then she cut out a little halo and put it over his head. And that guy was standing there, man, with a Bible in his hand and a halo around his head. And she said, I used that. She said, it was so difficult for me to see him saved because I saw him so mean for so many years. She said, but that picture caused me to see him as a believer. And she said, today he's saved. Is that something you can do? Not only just visualize it in your mind, you can begin by doing something like that. Somebody that's in your family that's not a Christian, you can begin by giving them a book about the Lord. Oh, that costs money. Hey, are you willing to invest and begin? Well, they might not read it. Well, they're certainly not going to read it if you don't give it to them. Plant a seed. Do something to get started in your project. Another thing that I would suggest that really ties in, these two go so closely together, visualization and beginning, is what I call the AM and the PM plan. The AM and the PM plan. What is the AM and the PM plan? The AM and the PM plan is in the morning, before you get out of bed, discipline yourself to lay in bed and visualize and see that which you're desiring. And then ask God for a few little insights on what you could do to begin the project. And then you get up and you go about your day. Then at night, after your wife, if you're married, you've talked, you're ready to go to sleep, discipline yourself to begin to see that project again as though it already were done, and ask the Lord once again for creative ideas and insights on how you could begin to get started in that project. Now, very quickly, let's just look at a couple of other passages in Proverbs. Go with me to Proverbs 13. And we want to talk about the sluggard. Everybody say the sluggard.
Sluggard.
Doesn't that just sound bad? The sluggard. Everybody say, I don't want to be a sluggard.
I don't want to be a sluggard.
Now say it like you mean it. I don't want to be a sluggard.
I don't want to be a sluggard.
What is a sluggard? A sluggard is a one that never begins. A sluggard is one who always wants but is not willing to begin. Proverbs 13, look at verse 4. Proverbs 13, verse 4 says, the soul of the sluggard desires. Now you see, he'll take it all the way up to faith, imagination. Man, he'll say, yeah, I'm a dreaming, I'm defining, I'm visualizing, but he'll never begin. It says, the soul of the sluggard desires and hath nothing, but the soul of the what? The diligent shall be made fat. That's a Hebrew idiom for prosperous. He'll be made prosperous. Go with me to chapter 20, quickly. Proverbs 20. And look at verse 4. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. He says, oh, it's too cold to go out there and do any work in the yard. I better not get out. I might get frostbitten. He's never willing to begin. You know those believers like that. Well, I don't have any money to begin, so I better not get out there. I might stick my neck out too far. It might not work, and I might not look good in the eyes of everybody else. Did you know the fear of other people keeps a lot of people from stepping out? When you begin to step out, there's a risk involved. And in the back of your mind, the devil is telling you, you better watch it. You're going to make a fool of yourself. You have to trust God and step out. Don't be the sluggard that says, well, it's too cold to get out there. Go to chapter 21, right next door. Let's look at verses 25, or verse 25. It says, the desire of the slothful, the same type of person, sluggard, slothful, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. You know, there's people that they want, and they want, and they want, and they want, but they're not willing to pay the price. They're not willing to get out there and begin and do some work. Therefore, their desire actually discourages them. But the righteous and the diligent, they're willing to put action to their faith. It's not enough just to visualize. We have to put action to our faith and begin somewhere along the line. Go to chapter 26, and this will be our last one. This is a very interesting passage. Are you learning something tonight?
Yes.
You being encouraged?
Yes.
Everybody say, I don't want to be a sluggard.
I don't want to be a sluggard.
Everybody say, I will begin.
I will begin.
All right. Proverbs 26, and let's look at verse 13. The slothful man, or you could say the sluggard, same thing. The slothful man says, oh, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. He says, oh, I better not get out there now, honey, because a lion might get me. You know, there's some believers like that. Oh, this isn't the ideal time to go out there. I mean, you know, the economy's bad and inflation's on the rise. This probably isn't the best time to start. Well, when do you think is the time to start? Oh, it'll never be a time to start. That's the way some people think. The slothful man says, oh, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Look at verse 14. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. You know, there's some people, they just lay in bed visualizing. They say, oh, yes, hallelujah, I can see it. Let me turn over on this side and think about it some. About noontime, they're just getting up, you know. Oh, let me try this hinge. I haven't tried this hinge out lately, you know. Never willing to get up and start. Look what it says in verse 14. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Verse 15. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. I mean, he's so lazy, he just can't even hardly feed himself. Honey, would you feed me? He's not willing to begin. Look at verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You know, people that never are willing to have faith and step out and begin, I mean, they seem like sometimes they're the wisest people. Those are the kind of guys that can sit down at the cafe and tell you every reason in the world why it's not going to work. I mean, those are the relatives that can sit around and sip coffee all day and tell you why you better watch out and better not step out. I mean, they've got great wisdom, but the fact is they've never stepped out in their own life to do anything with the power of God. Look what that last verse says, verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Everybody say, I'm not going to be a sluggard.
I'm not going to be a sluggard.
I'm going to begin.
I'm going to begin.
I'm going to put action to my faith. I'm going to do something about my visualization. So here's the steps of achievement. You begin to dream. Open your mind up to the unlimited possibilities of God. But as you begin to dream and have a lot of ideas running through your mind and through your spirit, you should begin to focus, almost like a magnifying glass. Have you ever seen how a magnifying glass can focus? That's where the power happens. You see, the energy of the sun is there, but it's not until it's concentrated that power happens. You begin to define. You begin to focus in. Then as you begin to focus in and you write it down, you begin to visualize it and see it as though it were already done. Faith simulation. Then you'll begin to get creative ideas on how you could get started, and it doesn't take money. It may just be digging a hole where you want that new building. Go out there and dig the hole. It may be doing research at the library. Go do some research. It may mean writing some letters. Write some letters. It may be sending off for the application of the college, even though you don't have money to go to college. Get the application. That's the first step. Do something to begin your plan, and you're almost on your way to achieving the very real thing in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise God. Are you being inspired?
Amen.
Are you going to use it for the harvest?
Amen.